Tuesday, October 21, 2025, 7 p.m., and I call the Wrangell Assembly to order. The Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Assemblymember DeBoard. Please rise.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Assemblymembers Powers?
Here.
Mock?
Here.
On the phone. Thank you. Audison?
Here.
Dalrymple?
Here.
Powell?
Here.
DeBoard?
Here.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Here. Tonight is a very special night. We have two proclamations. The first one is for our Wrangell High School cross country team and all of their efforts, and we are so very, very proud of them. I'll read the proclamation for you. Whereas the Wrangell High School cross country program has once again distinguished itself through outstanding athletic achievement, teamwork, and sportsmanship during the 2025 season. And whereas the leadership of senior Boom Chain, is it Lux?
Lux.
Thank you. And freshman Jenna Meisner, both of whom remained undefeated across all divisions in Southeast Alaska, the Wrangell Wolves achieved historic milestones that will long be remembered. And whereas for the first time in school history, both the boys and the girls team captured regional championships, marking the boys' fourth consecutive regional title and the girls' first regional title since 2014. Outstanding. And whereas both Boom Chain, Laux, and Jenna Meisner claimed the individual regional titles, with Boom Chain also breaking his own school record and setting a new Wrangell best of 16 minutes, 8 seconds during the regular season. And whereas the Wrangell girls team went on to earn the first state championship in school history for any girls program, with Jenna Meisner winning the individual state title and teammates Bella Ritchie and Alana Harrison placing fifth and sixth respectively out of a field of nearly 80 competitors. And whereas the Wrangell boys team delivered a remarkable performance, finishing as state runner-up by just 4 points, demonstrating the depth and determination of the program. And whereas the city and borough of Wrangell especially commends the team's four graduating seniors, Boom Chain, Jackson Powers, Ian Nelson, and Ben Hauser, for their leadership, perseverance, and contribution in building a culture of excellence that has elevated Wrangell cross country to statewide prominence. And whereas during their time in the program, these seniors have contributed to an unprecedented record of 3 state team titles, 4 state individual titles, 5 regional team titles, and 5 individual regional titles, making Wrangell cross country the winningest athletic program in school history. And whereas the members of the 2025 state teams, Jenna Meisner, Bella Ritchie, Alana Harrison, Boom Chain Laux, Jackson Carney, Ian Nelson, Jackson Powers, Ryder Ritchie, Carter Howell, and Ben Hauser have represented Wrangell with distinction through their discipline, teamwork, and pride in their community. And whereas this historic girls' state championship stands as a tribute to all the Wrangell women who have competed before them, paving the way for future generations of student athletes and cementing this team's place in Wrangell history as one of the greatest of all time. And whereas, no exaggeration, whereas Jenna Meisner and Boom Chain Laux were further recognized for their outstanding achievements as athletes of the week on October 13, 2025, reflecting not only their athletic excellence, but also their character and leadership. Now, therefore, I, Patricia Gilbert, Mayor of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, on behalf of the citizens of the city and borough of Wrangell congratulate these fine young athletes for their achievement in sportsmanship and commend them on their representation for the community of Wrangell. Signed and sealed on this day, the 21st of October, 2025. Thank you. Oh, can I have a representative come up here and receive this?
Who's the
should I give it to the coach?
Yeah. And whereas there's something up in slip. Give it to Josh. Give it to Josh.
Yeah. No credit.
We are very proud of you. And we know this is a school night.
So I get a quick picture real quick.
Yeah, let's get the whole assembly.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
I didn't order pizza because it's wrestling.
Did I get everybody?
We stand over here, assembly. One of you hold this up. Ready? She's got one. One, two. Four. Ready? One, two, three. Okay.
Just think those red flags will be hanging in the gym forever.
All right.
Yeah, you guys
are good.
Thank you.
You can take it back. You can put it in your bedroom for a week, whatever you want to do.
It's the opposite.
Yeah. Good luck, Skagway.
We're still rolling.
Thanks, Bella.
Thank you. There we go. The second proclamation is for WCA. This is recognizing the sophomore nation status of the Wrangell Cooperative Association and celebrating its profound contribution to our community. Whereas November is observed both federally as Native American Heritage Month and by the state as Alaska Native Heritage Month, and whereas the Wrangell Cooperative Association is a federally recognized tribe within our community, and the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, desires to declare and reinforce formal recognition of WCA as a sovereign tribal government. And whereas the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, values and endorses a strong, effective, and honorable government-to-government relationship with WCA, and extends a warm welcome to WCA's new tribal administrator, Albert Reinhardt. And whereas in the area of community response and social wellness, WCA has been an indispensable partner, most recently in the landslide aftermath by securing the country's first tribal management crisis managed counseling program, which was approved and funded by FEMA, and providing a team of therapists, emotional support dogs, and funding the bounce back program. Playing a key role in securing $150,000 through the Native American Library Services Enhancement Grant for Wrangell's Library to provide an academic tutoring and after-school program for local youth. Whereas in the area of cultural preservation and historic reconciliation, WCA has demonstrated powerful leadership by initiating the first totem carving application project in 37 years, a $520,000 endeavor that revitalizes the Tlingit culture. Also, conducting a processional walk. Conducting a processional walk to retrace the steps of Shaktu and securing a formal apology for the U.S. Army for the 1869 bombardment, and endorsing and financially supporting the new access route to the Mount Dewey Trail and offering the culturally meaningful name path over the Muskeg for the new trail. Whereas in the area of environmental stewardship and public health, WCA's Earth Branch and other initiatives have provided critical service by taking over the management of the 39-acre Garnet Ledge property, a historic reservation for the children of Wrangell, and organizing a two-day e-waste drive to properly dispose of electronics and prevent contamination of Wrangell soil and groundwater. Whereas WCA was rightly named Organization of the Year by the Wrangell Chamber of Commerce for its collective visionary leadership, innovative approaches, and steadfast dedication, representing millions of dollars in contributions to the city and her citizens over the years. Now, therefore, I, Patricia Gilbert, Mayor for the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, do hereby proclaim November 2025 as Alaska Native Heritage Month, recognizing the sovereign nation status of the Wrangell Cooperative Association. Signed this day, the 21st of October, 2025. Is there a representative from WCA here tonight? I don't think I see one. So we'll make sure they get this proclamation. All right, thank you. Next on the agenda is item 3, persons to be heard. We have 3 minutes per person. Right. Okay, Jim Collier.
I want to hear what you got to say about rural and service areas there.
All right, so you want to, do you know what agenda item you'd like to speak to?
Well, I paid 12.75 mil rate just like you do.
Okay, so you want
11C.
11C. Okay.
I want to know why I don't get the same services you get.
All right, so on 11C, Mr. Collier, I'll call for your testimony. Is that okay? All right. And Mike Lockerbie, would you like to speak now, or is there an item on the agenda? Is there an item on the agenda you'd like to speak to?
Mine is not. It's on an agenda from 6 weeks ago that never got fulfilled. So you make the call.
Okay, come up to the podium. I'll give you 3 minutes.
Okay. This is from 6 weeks ago when the city manager was asked for numbers on the moving the freight yard out to 6 Mile, and we've yet to see any numbers on it, and people were curious. So Wrangell has 28 million pounds of freight through it going either way. At 3 cents a pound, $897,000, or $484 per person. 3 cents a pound is what it cost down south. 6 cents a pound, which is the low end of what it would cost here, would cost $1,794,000 or $969 a person. And at 10 cents a pound, which our group and my research has shown is more likely a real price for the trucking addition, the move, it would be about $1,616 a person per year. Family of four, 3 cents doesn't count. 6 cents, $3,880 a year. Family of four, 10 cents, $6,466 a year. Those are numbers we're looking for. These are real solid, rock solid numbers. Question me if you like. It doesn't include any of the following: cost of a bond for the project, additional cost of businesses will have to apply for fuel, equipment, time, and additional insurance, additional margin cost if they need to raise their margin so they can pay for the additional cost. And this is not a freight rate cost. Those come along often enough, including fuel surcharges. This is the cost for 12 miles of freighting. And that's the distance between the mill and back if you're shipping something in or out, because the processors have to bring the containers in, they got to bring them out. So it's 12 miles. That's the cost right there. Everyone who's reviewed this, everyone, is not in favor of doing that. You can have your own survey from 10 years ago, whatever you'd like to do. It's almost, it's going to come to a vote. And I intend for the people of this community to have the cost of these things before that vote. And they need that. That's why we ask for it at the MOU, or the Memorandum of Understanding meeting. And it just hasn't come out. Nothing's come out. There's suggestions on what else to do are there too. But this isn't that. This is what it's going to cost to move 28 million pounds of goods 12 miles by truck. That's what it's going to cost. There's other concerns with it. I won't bring them up because I'm talking about the money. The safety concerns, a lot of people like the thought of all the lads going back and forth, all empty and loaded. But that's another subject. I can go on and on, as all of you well know.
You've got 30 seconds left, so.
Oh, I got 30 seconds left.
Go for it.
I feel like right now that. Yep.
I was just going to say, I would like to allocate my time to his, so.
Yeah, no, let's keep it. He can handle it.
He can't see time?
No.
Listen, do you? Yeah.
No, okay. I would actually like to
give 30 seconds. Time what apparently occurred.
No, I don't do that.
As I did this work, and this is hours and hours on the phone, I called all seven of the major shippers in town, a dozen of the minor shippers, and that only covered 19 businesses. There's over 206 more businesses in town that they ship to.
Thank you. I did get a picture of it so I can retain those values.
Well, wait a minute. This is where it used to be. If you want a picture, what are you going to pay me for it?
Thank you, Michael.
I mean, so somebody should have done this. I know this is a long ways away. It's moving along, but it's moving along from only one perspective, and that's evident in campaign writings that we saw before the vote. Dan, you said you were in favor of it. I bet I could talk you out of it. You got a big family. You want to pay, what is it?
Michael.
$500 a person in your family, additional every year?
Please.
I don't mean I could talk you out of it. I don't know why you would want it. But.
All right. Yeah.
The point here of this, there's a large disparity between Mason's comment on generational opportunity. I don't disparage the comment. There's a large disparity between that and the current economic affordability in Wrangell. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. Thanks.
Okay. Anybody have any questions about where these numbers came from?
Oh,
they are. I'd be glad to answer them.
Thank you. I really do appreciate that. You know, I love the math. I love the math.
Math is real.
Yes.
It's real as it gets.
Thank you, Mike. Patrick Freeman.
Yeah, as I said, I wanted to allocate the time that I had to give because I feel like those numbers are pretty important, at least for us to understand and to communicate as an assembly. So that's it.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments? All right. Thank you for that. And we'll hopefully maybe within the meeting try to address some of that because we're just at first steps on this. So thank you for that. Item four, amendments to the agenda. Any assembly member have any amendments to offer up? All right. Item five, conflict of interest.
Yep, Madam Mayor, I have a conflict of interest on Section 13, Item G.
All right, and this is Assembly Member Mock, and I do declare you have a conflict. So item 13G, you will not participate in the discussion or the vote.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Any disagreements from the assembly? Moving right along, consent agenda.
Move to approve the consent agenda as submitted. Sorry.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Otteson. Any discussion? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Mock?
Yes.
Otteson?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 7, Borough Manager's Report. And with that, we have embedded Harbor Master's Report, Library Director's Report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm going to turn it over to Director Spambler to share some great news as well as her report. So, Sarah, why don't you start off and I'll kick it into mine.
Okay.
I don't want to steal your thunder.
good evening, everyone. Thanks for allowing me to talk. Earlier this fall, I had the opportunity to attend the Association for Rural and Small Libraries Conference in Albuquerque, New Mexico. The ARSL Conference brings together librarians from across the country who work in small and rural communities, just like ours. And it's a great place to exchange ideas and learn from one another and bring home fresh approaches that truly fit the needs of communities just like ours. It was a really valuable experience. I came back with pages of new programming ideas and inspiration, sessions focused on ways to make libraries truly daily destinations for people of all ages, from hands-on activities for kids and teens to flexible adult programs built to build community connections, and then also outreach ideas for seniors, keep them engaged and supported, feeling supported. There were also a strong emphasis on partnerships and volunteer engagement and creating welcoming spaces and encouraging people to come together. So that was a really inspiring experience. I haven't been to a conference like that before, so I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to go to that. And then, right after that, about 4 days later, after coming home from that conference, I got the news that our library was awarded the IMLS Native American Library Services Enhancement Grant for $150,000. I'm pretty excited. this grant will fund a part-time library programming coordinator position for 2 years, and it will provide consistent oversight for the library's programs and events. So we're kind of maxed out with what we're able to do with our current staffing. And so I'm really excited to have somebody whose sole job it will be to kind of oversee and make sure that everything's being advertised for. We've got a calendar out and get some really cool new things happening up there. And then also in this grant, we'll provide some after-school tutoring for the high school students. That was something that was really important for the WCA to have in there. So I'm really excited to partner with the school on that. And then it's also going to bring some guest speakers and authors into town. We're hoping to start a new esports program and a youth book club and just a whole bunch of really cool stuff. So really excited for our community right now. It's going to be really neat to see what we can do with this. And then funding directly supports the kind of innovative and community-focused programming I learned about in the ARSL conference. And it'll help strengthen our partnerships to broaden access and enhance the overall quality of life for residents of Wrangell. And I know that's one. So thank you very much.
Right. And you have new lighting.
Yeah.
And if the public can assembly, you need to check out the library. There's always activity and you're doing great things. And I love the coordination we're doing with the school.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Recommend Director Scandler for all her work at the library. The amount of offerings that we've seen since she's taken over has been exceptional, from the 3D printer to the STEM focus to after school activities to all the different story times, and now there's music in the library apparently, and there's just so many different offerings that's been created with the same amount of staff and resources. And so $150,000 grant, what she didn't say is that was a competitive grant that only 25 communities across the whole country got, which I think is really exceptional and a testament to what she's doing. So I know it's kind of a prized possession of our community, the library, but she's sticking true. And I think that's probably the largest grant that the library's ever seen from non-capital. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm just going to say that it is. Really grateful for you and everything you're doing. But you should leave if you wanted to.
You don't want me to stay for the...
Oh, wait, you got your items. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No, that's great.
They're at the top.
I was trying to get you out of here.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Madam Mayor and Assembly. I'll try to keep my remarks fairly brief tonight. Manager report's always available on our website. I didn't post it in this packet, but I'll publish it afterwards. It's a great point of reference for information, along with our borough newsletter, the agendas, the packets, the social media posts. I mean, there's just so much information that gets out there, and I don't know that everybody has the opportunity to take a look at it sometimes. And we have recorded meetings now, so everybody can take a look. And Kim, you want to describe where those are located at?
Yeah, so the day usually after the meeting, sometimes the evening of the meeting, I take a link from Zoom and I put that onto our borough website under the meeting page. So you can look under agendas and minutes, or you can look under calendar for the meeting that you want to listen to, and it'll be on the bottom under video, and you can watch this whole meeting there or listen to it, whichever you prefer.
And our website is constantly being improved. The most recent improvement was with the Harbor Department. They redid the website.
That'll be the next second meeting.
Yeah. Well, I've already beat that.
Yeah.
It's actually a completely new website. So excited. Yeah, that'll great. Be of particular interest to the Marine Service Center vendors that are out there, because it should help them and workforce constraints. So that's really great. I'll kind of breeze through it. Like I said, really, again, want to honor the high school cross country thing. I think that's a remarkable thing to accomplish for those young individuals in our community. And I think it's great that the Assembly always comes, hasn't come down here. So I appreciate Superintendent Garrett being here as well. I know he bugged out, but appreciate him. From a new hires, milestones, job opportunities perspective, I'd like to welcome Sean Gillen to the borough. We just hired him in our sanitation department. He's got his CDL coming online, so that's a tremendous asset to have there. Jacob Allen has been redeployed over to the wastewater treatment plant. He'll be served as an operator over there and work towards the certifications for serving under the leads of Andrew Scambler and Jeffrey Davidson. So they're excited to welcome an operator to that department. They've been short-staffed and bringing on a new treatment plant and soon a new wastewater treatment plant as well. I'd like to commend Eric Scheib on completing 2 years of service with the borough, and Jamie Howe for completing her first year. A lot of good compliments out of DMV. I know that a lot of people constantly flag me down and say that that gal at DMV is doing a great job, and, you know, and she really is, and I appreciate all the services she's been able to provide. Jim Early, far overcoming the previous two, 24 years of service to the borough, something to be very admired. I appreciate him. He's serving as our facilities maintenance lead. So congratulations, Jim. I just wanted to make the folks aware that we do have job postings on rango.com/jobs. We have the power generation mechanic. We just had a nice productive work session on backup generation. David McCullen is not only serving as our superintendent, but he's also serving as the power mechanic. So he's doing both functions right now, which is really tremendous that he's able to take that. But we do want to hire that position. It's opening and accepting applications until filled. We do have a police officer position with a first review on Friday, October the 31st. So if you have interest in that position, you can go ahead and send your application to City Hall or email us down here. And then we've hired a finance director who will start November 17th, and I'll say more about that, but that's nobody's, like I said, probably more excited about that than myself. You know, from a fishery and subsistence advocacy perspective, we've been really focused on the sea otter issue. We got a lot of traction. That's something that we started over the summer months. We passed a resolution here, and there's been resolutions in the past and all that stuff, but I think we're pretty intentional with this one. I think the last effort was probably somewhere in 2018 by Julie Decker. So we passed a resolution. We provided that to all the communities in Southeast Alaska, Petersburg and Haines and Gus Davis and Craig and some of this, Kaufman Cove. They all adopted our resolution. Those have all been provided to our federal delegation. And what we've really done is focused on the policy. So Begich, our current representative Begich, but Mr. Begich from 2011 with Senator Murkowski had some legislation that we're wanting to reintroduce, allowing for permissible uses of sea otter pelts, so natives can trade it on the open market, and there's a more freer use for that. So there's an avenue to do that under amendment to the Marine Mammal Protection Act. So we've been advocating for that. We've also been working with Representative Begich's office and department, or the U.S. House Committee of Natural Resources, amendments to the Marine Mammal Protection Act. So we've been taking a pretty hard approach on this.
Rangel really has
led the charge on this. We Southeast Conference adopted our resolution. We've had a lot of interviews recently. And so our next step is we're going to host a meeting with all the shellfish fishermen, harvesters, and subsistence harvesters on November 13th, location to be determined. The prospects of that are really to inform them of the policy changes that we're working towards, but also working towards getting them an association established, because I think that's key. I don't know why there hasn't been an association established, but they're one of the few fisheries and users that don't have a means of unification and advocacy. And so it's something that I've been requested by younger fishermen in the community to get involved with. And there's a lot of older fishermen, including my dad, that have been in the game for a long time, and they're on their way out. And so it's up to the newer generation to kind of take on this issue, because it's going to persist. So,
and one of our goals is to advocate for the fisheries and the ferries service. But I do want to acknowledge a member in the audience, Michael Lockaby. He brought the proposal for and the warning of the sea otter population explosion to us many years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm very proud that it's late, but we're acting on it.
Yeah, thanks, Madam Mayor. And we don't plan to stop there. There's certain state measures we're advocating for, either buyback programs, the same disaster relief that's provided to the other fisheries. It's similar across the community for a lot of other fisheries that do have coalitions or federal dollars allocated to them. And we do have a heavy proportion of shellfish fishermen here in the community of Wrangell. We got about 65 crab permits last time I checked. That could fluctuate between 50 and 65, depending on transfers and everything. But it's pretty significant. And that comes on the heels of us advocating for keeping the amount of egg take for chum and pink hatchery production. It is the same at the Ketchikan Board of Fish meeting this fall. So we advocate for our fisheries. We deferred rate increases on commercial fishermen in years of struggle. That's something the assembly's taken on. So I got a recent email that says we're ignoring fisheries, and that kind of bothered me, because I think we're doing a pretty darn good job, especially relative to other municipalities and past precedents. So want to talk about that a little bit. From an Aldertop subdivision perspective, construction still continues. We have a plan, the capital projects directors in the audience here tonight, to expand utility service to lots 34, 33, 26, and 23. Those are on the wing ends of phase two subdivision that we're planning on. So those will be encapsulated in a spring sale likely, but another four lots for inventory. We reduced some scope in some other areas, sewer infrastructure in the utility easement in the middle of the phase one, phase two subdivision development plans. And I also just want to encourage folks, we have 14 active bids on lots. 14 out of 20 of the lots have bids on them currently. Fully anticipate all 20 to have bids on them by the end of it. But if you are interested, I have a link in my report to be able to get the information for Aldertop, but also the public surplus site. So if you want to bid on that, it's take you to the public auction page, and you can see it's an open bid, so you can see where the bid is at for each property, and I encourage you to continue to look at that. The borough will present final land covenants and financing terms to the assembly for approval here upcoming. We do have borough financing that we're going to move forward with as desired by the assembly. It's going to be 15% down payment, quarterly installments, 20-year amortization period, and it's due a note of 5 years. So term of 5 years for that, and that's typical for any lot acquisition loan. So trying to keep our private sector partners honest, and we'll see what the banks come up with. I know that they'll have some promotionals that they're going to do for that subdivision specifically. We've encouraged such a thing. Moving on to St. Michael Street. I know I'm stealing a little bit of Amber's thunder, but she doesn't have a capital projects report, so I'm just kind of rolling through it really quick. St. Michael Street, you can see the progress there. The road surfacing's all done. They're working on the sidewalks and some of the cutouts for the stormwater infrastructure and paving that. I think they're just really waiting on weather right now at this point to get it across the finish line and sealing some of the cutouts. But I do really appreciate contractors that have put the work on it, as well as borough staff. This represents the first comprehensive road project that the borough's done since Front Street. And Front Street, we didn't even do the stormwater or the sewer infrastructure. So, I think it's a turn of the page for us. We're focused on getting the road done each year. And I know that Amber and I committed to the assembly to get McKinnon done some way, somehow. And I know that we already got some assistance to the state revolving fund, complete loan forgiveness for all the utility infrastructure off of Odison Hill or McKinnon Street. So another heavy artery of our downtown corridor, and excited to bring that one home for the community. Myers Chuck, and you can see the picture in the port, awesome float down there for those folks. It's substantially complete. It's been years on that one. Appreciate Pool Engineering down there and their work towards the project. I don't really have much more to say outside of they're just finishing out some punch list items, and hopefully the Harbor Master, myself, and Amber can get down there for a tour one of these days to kind of see what that looks like. High school parking lot, that's something that's a little bit relevant to tonight. Resolution for Mr. Brett Woodbury. We did exchange two tidelands adjacent to the ferry terminal in return for the work to be performed on that parking lot. We have a free, no tax dealer, taxpayer dollars put towards that project at all. We just completely funded it through a land exchange and a trade with the Presbyterian Church property. And I thought it was a pretty ingenious way of getting a community a really great offering. And so I know that'll be appreciated as we get into some volleyball tournaments and some wrestling tournaments here, because the parking will be open in 2 weeks' time. So they're just putting some safety barriers down. They're going to roll the last surfacing on, and you have doubled, or if not more than doubled, the footprint of the parking there. So we all look at that on Reed Street and say, ooh. So the school renovations project, moving forward with negotiations and approval for a professional services agreement with LCG Land Tech. I think that's slated for the 10/28 meeting. That's correct. Amber's nodding me on. So we'll see that moving forward. That's designed for not only our middle school roof, but the entire school system, major renovations project that we got the $6.5 million from the state that we issued the bond proceeds for, that have now grown from $3.5 million to $4 million that will serve as our match for that program, as well as the CDBG grant for the middle school roof replacement. That is roof, siding, and a lot of comprehensive list of items, but namely roofs and siding we're excited about to see happen in the school for construction next summer.
And how are we paying back that bond?
But we are paying back that bond through the Secure Rural Schools Fund. That's how we spent it. The voters, we do don't have any developments on Secure Rural Schools now. It's been approved through the Senate. It's been approved through the House. They're still obviously in a shutdown at this point, but we do believe that we will be retroed for fiscal year 24 to the tune of about $800,000, and we'll continue to receive payments. That's essential for all these communities in Southeast Alaska.
Right.
Reed Street Stairs, Scott Brown and crews got that all torn up, and I know that's been a goal of the assembly to get that one done for our tourism infrastructure. So I appreciate Parks and Rec for taking that on, and they're stripping everything down to the footings and redoing it. So nice to see that offering back to the community here in about a month's time or so. Priorities for request for qualifications moving forward, and Amber and I have got on this. You know, we're going to get the we've already solicited for environmental assessment work at Mill Property, just selecting a firm to work with. We're hoping to get that on the November 24th special meeting. The public safety building rehabilitation solicitation coming out this week for design, and so we'll have that too. Our target is summer construction. If you mobilize a big outfit, won't say names, but if you mobilize a big outfit for the school project, could work nicely with the public safety building project as well. Don't have to remobilize somebody.
And that's why we held it off for next summer.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
And then on the EDA disaster supplemental grant, there's a lot of work that the capital projects department is taking on for scoping all the preliminary engineering reports that are required as a part of that submission. Again, we have three different scope projects: the Mill Property, the Downtown Waterfront, and the Flume. The Mill Property will be comprehensive utilities for the subdivision, some servicing. There'll be expansion of the Marine Service Center out there, and we will request in the grant an amphibious travel lift similar to what you see Allen Marine have. It's an 80-tonner that they have in inventory, but a nice way to push out long-term storage vessels and active vessel repair downtown, because we want the vendors to be working on vessels here. If they're not really being repaired on, then it's just taking up space and precluding those. We did have a record number of haulouts this last fiscal year, 316 haulouts, as opposed to a community average about 275. So the list runs out the door for haulouts, even as you see increased competition in the region. So that's why we scoped that in there. And if you can call it competition, I think our rates are across the board all lower, and we have all the vendors that they don't have. So we all know I'm talking about Sitka. From the McKinnon Street Road and utility replacement perspective, project design now, so we'll be ready to go for summer construction next year. And I know that Amber and I will work on getting those loan documents to the State Revolving Fund finalized and into them. from a trust land office perspective, or the land exchange we're working through, they should have their appraisal here this week, if not next, which will allow us to negotiate some values. Again, we are exchanging the 27 acres off of Ishiyama Drive that's adjacent to the golf course and Ketchikan Ready Mix. So that water side, it's zoned industrial at this point in time, but the plan is for them to create a 27 one-acre lot subdivision out there. There is power out there. There won't be water sewer. We're not going to get into that, but we will bring to the assembly and the public what we're exchanging for when the timing is correct, as we have some further contingencies and deals to make in the background. So we'll bring that together and that'll be analyzed. From an MOU perspective on Alaska Marine Lines, we anticipate this week receiving, and talk to those leadership at AML this morning, receive a lease agreement for the mill property tidelands and 4 acres of uplands. So their plan is to submit a lease application for review from the Planning and Zoning Commission. And from that point, the site will be analyzed. And if we get the approval to move forward through planning and zoning, and the assembly will start negotiating a lease agreement. So this is something, there is going to be a cost for them to submit a development plan. So one thing we're planning on doing at next Tuesday's meeting is we're going to suspend all wharfage and port storage for Alaska Marine Lines as they come to developing that plan. We don't want it to increase the cost of business for the community, and then the perceived notion that it could increase freight rates. So we're going to go ahead and suspend that while they're developing a plan for design and construction of a new facility at the mill site, and then we'll entertain a proposal. And on that note, I'd like to respond to Mr. Lockerbie's comments. I didn't get a chance to look at that, but I will review the picture. There's a lot of, and part of what I actually responded to Jim Freeman in an email is there's a lot of different factors and variables that go into a cost analysis and the opportunity costs of alternatives. And without having a solid lease agreement or a solid foundation of something on the table, you can't possibly quantify it. And for the example I would give is if we do move it out to the mill site, what's the opportunity cost of not? Well, I don't really know because I haven't negotiated an American Cruise Line deal and brought it to the council. I don't know how much of that freight on the board pertained to seafood that's being shipped off the island. So there's a lot of different factors that go into this. We don't have a debt service cost, and the reality is the private sector to build something's half as much as a government entity, but the debt service for us off of, you know, 12 to 18 million is something that's unbearable for the community. It's not something that we can expect the ratepayer to pay for, and either way it's going to be paid. So it's very characteristic for the private sector to take on these investments, especially in the region. We're one of the very few communities that actually own and operate our own barge ramp, something we've gotten no assistance for through any of the operators in the past. We've maintained good yards for them to operate in. So that is kind of my response. And I'll tell you a little bit about what we plan to do. So when we do have small agreements that I negotiate with these entities, whether it be American Cruise Lines, Alaska Marine Lines, and we have all the variables set as part of the equation, we will bring a full return on investment and cost of capital, cap rate, everything to the community for them to analyze and really try to understand the freight impacts to the community, to understand the value of a lease agreement down here in our downtown for American Cruise Line. I can't tell you what the lease payment's going to be. I can't tell you what the head tax is going to be. I can't tell you if they're going to turn guests here yet. I can't. So there's so many different things that are quantified when you have a final agreement. So I just ask for the community's patience, because we are going to put that out on the floor for everybody to analyze in a transparent fashion. But to do so now would just be hasty and you know, it would be very short-sighted. There's not clarity on all the variables that are there to exist. And we want to make good decisions, and we want to give my job is to give the assembly the best tools available to make a good decision. And we can't do that until such things are negotiated. So again, I think sometimes we jump too quickly to say no to things when we don't even understand the full impact. And we are committed to doing that. So that's something that you'll see down the line here. But I do appreciate your remarks tonight. I will look at the presentation that you submitted to the assembly tonight. On American Cruise Line side of things, made strong progress in the cost share agreement. We've looked at a conceptual that's something that's been mutually agreed upon. At this stage in the game, there might be some minor tweaks and adjustments at this stage in the game, but I think this is the concept that we'll likely roll forward with, and it integrates right into our waterfront master planning from 2015. So it's a nice transition. Again, if recall that we did submit port bond application for $4 million, which the assembly authorized. That's not a tax, a governmental activity. So it's not a geo bond in any way. The taxpayer would not be responsible for it. In fact, we expect the fruits of this project to pay for it in its own self. So that'll be for filling out all the waterfront out in front of City Hall here, in between the Nolan Center all the way out to the existing barge ramp. And so we will also come up with an ROI for that project and talk about a lot of the intangibles that you can't exactly quantify, but we know that they're going to have a positive impact on the community. And we'll weigh out the pros and cons on that. I will say that there's I mentioned it in the work session with respect to backup generation, but there is a 360 by 60 ship coming to Wrangell for retrofit this winter. My understanding is Mr. Tonsgaard and Mr. Dave Miller are working together on a collaboration to retrofit that using both their employees. That will be used as a floating dock and eventually a drive down ramp for other users outside of the cruise tourism season. So I know that a drive down ramp's been designed for quite some time for the community. That's an offering that is going to stem out of this and what we're shooting for. And so that'll get retrofitted here. It was slated to leave on the today, actually, but they're running into some weather. So they have 30 days with their transport company to bring it up here, and then it'll get retrofitted. But a good job, nonetheless, to have in the community, and a good way to get a floating dock for the port expansion with American Cruise Lines. EDA disaster supplemental, again, we'll continue to keep you abreast on status with the projects. I already mentioned the three. I do want to note that we do plan that with Mike Allen today. We plan on signing an MOU with him at the next meeting on October 28th. And then I'm hoping to get work with Mr. Mock and Pacific Seafoods to get MOUs put together for the 20th as well. That might be a quick timeline. I think that me and this assembly member Mock could probably work that one out, but we will have several MOUs to get together so those members can take part in our coalition, and there's some deep behind it. So there's beneficiaries, and there's a broader coalition that we are going to participate in talking about the construction projects that we've scoped and making sure it aligns with their private sector investments and increase in investment. So a lot of discussions there, more MOUs to come in November probably, and then we'll get started with our first coalition meeting and invite a bunch of stakeholders to the table and continue to do that until we submit.
And again, the EDA disaster supplemental grant is between what, 20 to 50 million?
20 to 50 million. I think we talked about ballpark 45 million for submission of application. Never seen an application or a grant award in that material amount for the borough. So the RAISE grant, as far as I know, is one of the biggest grants we've ever received at $25 million. So to bring a $45 million grant home here to the community of Rainbow and have a new waterfront out of it, a new mill property out of it, new flume for water capacity, I can't think of anything better. So again, we brought in over $52 million in the last couple of years as an administrative team, something we're very proud of. It's unprecedented, and we're going to continue to make strides for that. So thank you. On the hazard mitigation plan, we are going to meet internally for last and final review of that plan, and then we plan on bringing that for the first meeting in November for adoption. We are going to provide that to our tribal partner, the WCA, because by them adopting and having concurrence, it also allows them to have access to hazard mitigation grant programs along with boroughs. So we want their concurrence in that process. Little update on the James and LC Nolan Trust. I got to meet with the trustee this last week, something we do annually, analyze the health of the trust. Kind of a mixed bag on how I feel about it, but our budget called for a $65,000 distribution. The fund has performed remarkably well as our permanent fund over the course of the last year, boasting returns of 12 to 14%. So it's really great shape. So we can take a more sustainable draw, more like 85, 90,000. So about 30 grand in the black for the Nolan Center, which means the general fund doesn't have to subsidize it that much more, which is really great. And that will be put to good use. The sustainable distribution rate for the permanent fund and the Nolan Center Trust, about the same. It's about 4.5%. And that's just because they're both supposed to be inflation proof. But what was concerning is I learned that the original corpus of the trust was $2 million, and that's where we're at now. So that suggests that there was larger draws prior to 2021. I know we did take a larger draw out for the recoding the Nolan Center roof, which is something we're still committed to doing, and that is invested still. But it is concerning because it's what tells me that previous leadership may have overdrawn the fund. If not, it should have been at $3, $4, or $5 million, much like the growth of our permanent fund.
Yeah.
I did look at previous budgets and suggest that it's about $100,000 draws. That's probably too much for the trust to make at that time. So a little bit disappointing.
And the direction of the assembly is that the Nolan needs to generate
more revenues.
Yeah, correct. And, you know, I would consider the assembly, maybe this is something to talk about under assembly business, codifying the draws off the permanent fund, much or, the Nolan Center Trust, just like you would the permanent fund. That way it's safe harbored for future use for other assemblies. That might be something wise to do. A little update on the Wrangell Timber Initiative, really exciting update there. Director Thomas and I met with the chief of the entire Forest Service. He's based out of DC. His name's Tom Schultz, private sector partner coming into the government, a lot of experience out of Idaho and Montana and Virginia. And so we had a really good conversation about long-term timber sale contracts, which are totally within his purview to do. I believe he's going to pursue several 20-year contracts based off the conversation for the Talgus, which is something that's great. We're going to definitely continue to advocate for that. Using a lot of the expertise that somebody from Dalrymple has shared with me, we've been able to kind of fine-tune our approach with the conversation. The one thing we really made clear is on our, the borough entitlement lands we plan on pursuing, that was really particular interest to them, especially the Earl West project we plan on bringing forward this next summer. And that kind of spurred the conversation of good neighbor authority sales. That's something that the state, I would say, has been underdeveloped in the past, or maybe not is commensurate to other states like Montana and Idaho. But the state is and has a shared stewardship agreement proposed to the federal government right now that I think they do plan on signing. I have a copy of it, so I'm not supposed to share it because AFA came up with it. But they do have a board meeting tomorrow that I will be attending remotely. And Tessa Axelson's been a great friend to the borough and part of our timber initiative, so I'll be continuing to foster that. We talked about the appraisal process reform, and we talked about a number of other things with the chief. But namely the Wrangell Island project, the EIS that's sitting on the shelf right there. I know a lot of work went into that. There's 56 million board feet in that project. The record of decision was about 6 million board feet, I believe. And so you have 50 million board feet sitting right there off the shelf that they can put out to market with a new record of decision and a renewed EIS. And that was something we really pushed because that creates a lot of industry and growth here for existing participants and potentially new. So a great conversation with Mr. Schultz. He gave us 45 minutes of his time, which I think is pretty generous. And so also, like I said, we'll have the later this, actually tomorrow. And then we'll continue to have another Timber Initiative meeting. I think we're going to invite all our stakeholders to the borough sometime in November again, and either host a remote or in-person Timber Initiative meeting, talk about framing up a game plan for our DC lobbying, but also get everything in line. So great thing on the Timber Initiative. If I go over to Earl West, I guess one thing I'll just kind of say is that Assembly has rezoned timber management, or used timber management as a zoning for entitlement lands. Earl West is one of the most valuable pieces of entitlement land we have in terms of timber. Could be anywhere from 10 to 25 million board feet. I've got numbers all over the board. But I do plan on bringing a professional services agreement with Forest and Range Solutions on Tuesday. And that'll be a contract from everything from survey to appraisal to timber cruising, all the way to administration of the sale and through the sale. So that's something that we plan to sell and begin harvesting this next summer. And there'll be a subdivision layout afterwards to where we can sell some property and get that on the tax rolls. Maybe people want to put some nice cabins out in the Earl West area after it's been harvested. But a lot of valuable timber out there for us to get harvested.
And for the public, will you explain entitlement lands and how that came about? 9,006 acres.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. So we do have entitlement lands. There's 9 entitlement land areas. I'm not going to go through all of them because I'll probably forget one off the top of my head. But we have Crichton Creek, we have Mill Creek, we have Tom's Place, we have Olive Cove, we have Earl West, Sunny Bays, Rembo, and I'm going to stop there before I miss the one last couple. But a lot of different land areas that we achieved when we became a borough back in 2008. It's been a slow roll through DNR to get the title to these properties. There's a lot of, they have specific survey instructions, and then once you get the instructions, you have to actually execute the survey, and then eventually you get title and property. But we do have management authority to each of these parcels.
We don't have subsurface rights.
We don't, we can't drill for oil or strike gold here with the property, but we can, management rights does include timber harvest and subdivision development, conditional sales are also a part of it. So we're going to not let the state stall us up any further. We're going to make good use of those inventory. And I know that Mike Allen, local mill operator here, that where he's super excited about the prospects of that. That's something that could give him the assurance for the next 15 to 20 years to continue to grow. I know that they do have plans for growth that I won't share at this point, but yeah, I'll let him do that. And that's pretty darn exciting. Pivoting a little bit, we called a emergency community leadership meeting yesterday. And that's all the main employers we get together each month to talk to these, and the child care initiative, the search plan youth development came out of that, both came to fruition really quickly. We wanted to call this meeting to take on Wrangell supporting Western Alaska and the tragic flooding of the area, and a lot of families displaced from the region. About 1,200 families, my understanding, that have been displaced and flown to Anchorage. There is an opportunity, I think, to help those that have been displaced and do Wrangell's part. Community leadership meeting, the result really was, you know, maybe 10 to 25 families we could help accommodate here in Wrangell. That would require use of Trident facilities. So working in partnership, I know Assembly Member Mox on the line, but we'll lean on them. There's no pressure, but if that's something that they choose to do, were something that we would support here, that could have some benefit, could be a win-win. I know that Julie Decker has been serving as like an informal liaison between seafood processors and those affected in the governor's office. So we do plan to work with her at the governor's office if I get assembly direction in the next item to pursue that. But that could mean more kids in schools. It's kind of like a little bit of artificial growth for our community. And also we're doing a good thing. And we know what a disaster feels like better than most communities in recent years. So. I'll get your guys' guidance on that, but I think there's a lot of benefits to the community of Wrangell and helping out. Again, grant success. I want to thank Sarah for $150,000 grant to the library and the increased offerings that'll generate. Really remarkable to bring that win home, especially how competitive it was. In the same tune, our chief of police, Gene Meek, brought home $218,000 grant for a Cops for Hire grant, and that was specifically for a school resource officer emphasis. So, if you recall, we, through attrition, reduced the force here by two positions. And so we do have, I feel, a very competent staff and a chief that has done an unprecedented level of community engagement and public safety outreach. But I do think that having an officer through this grant is a great idea. I know it's a commitment we've talked about with the school board in the past about having more presence in the schools. This wouldn't be somebody that sat in the school all the time, but it'd be something that would supplement, be a resource for them, as is characteristics of a lot of school districts. So thank you to Mr. Meek for that.
And he's also got obtained grants for enhanced DUI detection and BUI during 4th of July, so we didn't have to pay overtime.
Correct.
To our officers.
And a lot of equipment as well. And then lastly, related to the police, I want to share the fruits of the conversation for the school incident that occurred last week. We had an after action report with all the community, all the members of the school district led by Chief Meek. Essentially, there was a extortion threat made to a parent in the community that had a kid in the school system. It was a rather grotesque threat that, you know, and pretty realistic. Somebody, a little girl was screaming on the phone, pretending to be the daughter, as if she'd been abducted and they were calling for $30,000. Otherwise they were gonna do some pretty bad things that I won't mention. And so alarmed, obviously the parent had an idea that it could be a scam, but still you wanna treat those things seriously, ran up to the school, notified them, found out her daughter was just in fact safe. So number one, I wanna alert the community that those kind of calls are happening. And so please report those scams to the police department, but that is being an active investigation at this point. What we think that probably happened is when that event happened, the kids at the school probably alerted their parents, and then if there's a miscommunication somehow along the lines, and then there was a hostile threat to the school district, so they were in lockdowns. So we talked a lot about the incident itself. We went through the strengths and weaknesses of the response in general, which is just great because that's something that I don't think we've done in the past routinely. And there's some notable improvements, I think, on the school side and our side. Number one, I think you can expect from me an appropriation for enhanced communication for the police department, something we've done for the fire department. But the radios that they use are pretty outdated and something that we might need to take a hard look at. I'll let Gene make a case for that. But something there. We should reduce access to the school system and have security card scanners for the doors. That's becoming more characteristic. They have this last year restricted access to the building during school hours, which I think is great. That's just protecting the kids even more from things. But we'll do a lot more. But I did want to give you that insight. And we did share an after action report with the assembly and other stakeholders. So if any community members interested in that or a concerned parent, please reach out. We'll get that report. Yeah. Let's stop there. That's a long one. And I do have a number of items on the next meeting. It's going to be a pretty big one.